You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We've all seen the viral videos, or maybe witnessed the crimes in person. Smash and grab thefts and robberies at retail shops. Groups of people, or sometimes just an individual, carrying out loads of merchandise with seemingly no consequences. California state lawmakers want to toughen up penalties for these crimes a decade after voters passed Proposition 47, which reduced penalties for some drug and theft offenses. But what's the best solution for curbing these crimes? Governor Gavin Newsom and other top Democrats are pushing a package of anti-theft bills. Meanwhile, Republicans and district attorneys are supporting a Prop 47 reform measure that just qualified for the November ballot. To help us sort this all out, San Francisco Chronicle columnist Emily Hoven joins us. Welcome back to Insight, Emily.
Great to be with you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into this controversy over at the Capitol and these potentially competing solutions, Emily, could you give our audience a primer on Prop 47? For example, what were the arguments made a decade ago that helped it pass?
Yeah, so Prop 47 was passed by California voters in 2014. And, you know, at the time, California was coming off of decades of, you know, very severe sentencing policies that resulted in jails and prisons being much over capacity. In fact, at one point, California, and to this day, it still is under a federal court order that essentially caps its prisons at a certain capacity because there were just too many folks in there. Many of them were in there for what, you know, we would consider today to be relatively low-level nonviolent offenses. And so Prop 47 was crafted with the intention of transferring people that commit lower-level nonviolent thefts and drug offenses into rehabilitation programs instead of jails and prisons. And so it was intended to both kind of save some of the money of incarceration and also comply with this federal ruling that basically said to California, you got to get people out of these prisons because it is far over capacity. And so that was really the intention. And I think, you know, voters were receptive to the idea of having people, you know, enter rehabilitation instead of prison, especially if it's something that is a relatively minor offense. But you know, over time, I think some of those arguments have started to hold less water with Californians.
Well, right. And a lot can change in a decade. And there can always be unintended consequences from ballot measures. We tend to see that year after year in California. So if we do fast forward to this year, why are Republicans and district attorneys across the state, why did they help qualify the Prop 47 reform measure for the November ballot? And what are the arguments that they've made in support of reform?
Yeah, so there's a fairly sizable bipartisan coalition of folks that have argued that Prop 47 needs to be reformed. I mean, there have been efforts in the legislature carried by Democratic lawmakers to reform Prop 47. We have San Francisco Mayor London Breed, San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria, San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan supporting Prop 47 reform, all of whom are prominent Democrats. And, you know, they have supported this measure that's championed largely by district attorneys and retailers, because there is a sense that folks are stealing right up until the maximum amount, which is $950. Anything below that is considered a misdemeanor instead of a felony. And basically, they're just allowed to kind of do that with very minimal consequences, because one of the things that Prop 47 did was it made it more difficult for prosecutors to stack up these lower level offenses into a larger felony that could then result in a steeper sentence. Another thing that Prop 47 did that I think was an unintended consequence that has had pretty severe ramifications is that it significantly removed the incentive for a lot of people to enter drug courts and other diversion programs that in the past were more appealing, because if you were facing a felony charge for stealing, for example, and you could avoid serving that time in jail or in prison by instead completing a program that, you know, helped you treat your substance use disorder or whatever it was that was happening, people would much rather do the treatment program than go to prison. But now, if you're not facing even the possibility of either jail or prison, you really have no incentive to complete this program. And because you can't stack those misdemeanors as easily, people could continue to commit the same offense over and over again and not really, you know, either face the consequence or actually get the treatment that taxpayers are providing, right? And we want people to be able to take advantage of those programs. That's why they're there. And so I think those are really the arguments that a lot of these folks have been making, is that we all see repeat offenders. We see people, you know, who are stealing to sustain their substance use disorder, addiction, or part of these larger theft rings. And they're not really seeming to get out of those patterns. And I think we have, you know, during the pandemic and since, we have seen violent crime rates escalate. And theft rates escalate. Obviously, both of them are not as high as they were back in the 90s, but they are up compared to prior years. And although the beginning of this year, we've started to see some positive trends, I think there was an alarming sense among voters that something needs to be done to take crime more seriously. And I think you've seen that in the fact that, you know, voters in SF recalled their district attorney for being too progressive. Now in Oakland, we're seeing a possible recall of the district attorney there. And surveys have repeatedly shown that crime is among Californians' top concerns. So I think, yeah, that those are the arguments that the supporters are leaning on.
And so they're hoping that voters in November will pass that Prop 47 reform measure. But that's not the only effort right now to sort of tackle these crimes that we're talking about. There's also this bipartisan package of retail theft and crime bills over at the Capitol. Emily, tell our audience, how did that come about and what's the goal with that package?
Yeah. So in the past year or so, the leaders of the state assembly and Senate, who are actually, you know, new leaders, they decided to sort of tackle this issue, retail theft, fentanyl use, things like that. I think largely because they could sense the direction the wind was blowing among California voters. And they have heard Governor Gavin Newsom go out and say, we need to put criminals in jail cells. And he created a statewide retail theft organized retail theft task force. He sent the California Highway Patrol into multiple different cities, including Bakersfield, SF, and Oakland. And so I think there was a prevailing sentiment that, look, like, we've got to get serious about this. People care about it. We need to change some of our laws. And so there was a bipartisan group of bills that essentially, you know, aimed to make it easier to aggregate some of these lower level crimes, focused really heavily on organized retail theft and on, you know, people that are selling stolen goods online, trying to make a profit, you know, things like that. And so there was a sizable amount of momentum behind those bills. But, you know, I think prosecutors continue to make the argument that they still would not address some of the core issues of Prop 47. And also because Prop 47 in its own language limited what you could do to increase punishments for certain crimes, they also make the argument that the only way to actually address the loopholes of Prop 47 is to take it to the ballot. And there's only so much you can do legislatively. But I think that legislative leaders were trying to address as much as they could through this package.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with columnist Emily Hoven from the San Francisco Chronicle about efforts to solve California's retail theft problem. And so, Emily, we've laid out there's an effort to reform Prop 47 that voters will see on the ballot. There's this package of bills over at the Capitol. In your column last week, you wrote that Democrats have, quote, cooked up a scheme to kill their own bills. So what is going on over at the Capitol? Why would they want to kill their own bills?
Yeah. So essentially, we mentioned that there is this ballot measure to reform parts of Prop 47. There are these package of bills that kind of go a different direction. And essentially, you know, we're pushing up here against a deadline of June 27th, which is the time by which legislative leaders, the governor, and the proponents of a ballot measure can strike a sort of deal to basically address issues through legislation or a compromise ballot measure and then remove the original ballot measure from the ballot. And so there was a lot of pressure mounting to keep Prop 47 reform off the ballot. The governor has been very explicit that he does not believe Prop 47 needs to be reformed. Some of the Democratic legislative leaders have also been very clear about that. And so what they did was they announced plans to insert these amendments into many of their own bills that would, first of all, make the bills effective immediately rather than the first of the new year, as is customary once the governor signs them. And then secondarily, to repeal those bills if voters were in fact to approve the Prop 47 reform measure in November. And so what that does is it effectively amps up the pressure very significantly on people that want stronger retail theft laws, because on the one hand, they could have this guarantee of this package of bills that, you know, maybe it doesn't go as far as they want, but it does something and something's better than nothing. Or they could pursue this this ballot measure and, you know, have to run an expensive campaign and convince voters and, you know, deal with the uncertainty of whether or not voters would actually pass it. And then there were also, you know, it also opens the door for basically opponents of the initiative to say, oh, what this initiative would actually do is repeal laws that are tough on crime, even though ironically the measure would, you know, probably be a little tougher than some of the measures that that lawmakers are advancing. So that's kind of what went down. And, you know, it was a pretty clear political scheme, because originally legislative leaders said that the reason they put those amendments in there was to avoid conflicts between the bills and the ballot measure, because essentially if both of them went into effect, it just wouldn't work. But they've since kind of walked that back, because there really are no clear legal or any sort of other types of conflicts between the two.
So Democratic lawmakers held a press conference last week. They were starting to respond to some of the controversy about adding these amendments. Robert Rivas is the Speaker of the State Assembly, and this is what he had to say.
Republicans are crying foul about this, saying that we're playing politics with public safety. Now, let me be clear. Every member of the legislature who cares about a safer California, who cares about taking action, who cares about delivering results to curb retail crime and theft, they need to support these bills, no exception.
So Rivas said that less than a week ago. It sounded like he was sending a message not just to the public, but to the members of his own party, too. So, Emily, what does it say to you that just yesterday, Democratic Assemblymember Kevin McCarty, who authored one of the bills, announced he will no longer support it because of what he calls the poison pill amendments?
I think it says that the Democratic coalition is fracturing with the sort of ultimatum that was delivered to them by leadership and presumably as well the governor's administration. The reality is that many lawmakers are accountable to their constituents, and their constituents are very concerned about crime. And I don't necessarily think that some legislators, especially those that are in purple districts, feel comfortable with the idea of having to advance this ultimatum and explain that decision to voters. It's been interesting because, you know, Kevin McCarty, who is running for mayor of Sacramento, incidentally, is not the only Democrat who has since kind of revoked his authorship or his support of the package. There are several other lawmakers that have done so, including State Senator Marie Alvarado Gill, Assemblywoman Cottie Petrie Norris, and Assemblywoman Esmeralda Soria as well, have all since said, you know what, like, I no longer feel comfortable having my name attached to this. I can no longer support the bills with these amendments in them. And all of the Republicans as well, I believe most, if not all of the Republicans, have also walked back their support because of the amendments. And so, you know, even though the leaders were trying to say it's a bipartisan package and all of this, I don't think they can really say that anymore. And furthermore, they're also losing support within their own party. And because of the fact that they inserted the amendments to make the bills effective immediately, there's actually a higher vote threshold that they have to reach to be able to do that. It's a 2/3 vote. If more Democrats continue to splinter off, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to actually reach that threshold.
Emily, as you mentioned, Kevin McCarty is running for Sacramento mayor. He'll be in a runoff this fall against epidemiologist Flojan Kofer. So voters in the city of Sacramento will have that choice. And also, they'll be looking at that Prop 47 reform measure. Senate Minority Leader and Republican Brian Jones is a big supporter of the Prop 47 reform measure. During an interview last week, I asked him about efforts by Democrats to compromise that measure, and here's what he said.
And the governor, the attorney general, we're hearing are putting pressure on the Democratic leadership to undermine this initiative because they don't want it on the ballot in November for various reasons. They have special interest groups that don't like the initiative in the first place. But I think the thing they're most worried about is it will drive turnout in November for folks that are fed up with the way the direction California is going. And there could be a clean sweep of legislative races as a result of the people turning out for this initiative. They know that, and that's why they're trying to undermine it in the first place.
Emily, is there some truth to what Jones is saying, that Democrats are worried the Prop 47 reform measure will drive Republican turnout in November?
You know, I think it's less about the idea that it would drive Republican turnout and more about the idea that it would put Democrats in a tough position ahead of the election. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of assembly seats up, some state Senate seats up. We have Congress and the presidential race, right? And having Prop 47 on the ballot means that crime will also be on the ballot. And it means that Democrats are going to have to take positions on this issue that many of them have actually studiously avoided in the past couple of years. And some of them have refused to say how they would think about Prop 47, whether it should be reformed or not. And if it's on the ballot, it's going to be unavoidable. It's going to be an issue in their individual elections. And I think that the Democratic leadership would prefer that that not be the case. And I think another thing that sort of solidifies that argument is that we just the other day, CBS Sacramento published some leaked emails between Dana Williamson, the governor's chief of staff, and the proponents of the ballot measure. And effectively, what they said was that Dana Williamson was more open to compromising on the language of the ballot measure if it was going to happen in 2026, not 2024. And so I think that there's a very concerted effort among Democrats to not have this be an issue this election. And I think part of the reason why could even go all the way up to the presidential election, where, you know, I think there's a perception, and we see this in polls, that nationally voters perceive Democrats as being softer on crime. And, you know, if that's something that could come up to haunt Joe Biden, I think there are those concerns going on, you know, behind closed doors and even at the level of Congress as well, because obviously, whichever party ends up controlling Congress, that has very significant implications for, you know, what the president is able to do and things of that nature. And so, I Republican turnout in California is not really a big issue for Democrats. The issue is what types of Democrats are turning out and, you know, what is their top concern going to be? And I think that the issue and the part of the reason why they've had so much controversy to begin with is I think in their efforts to tamp down this conversation about crime, it only solidifies the arguments by Republicans and by their opponents that Democrats are avoiding crime. And I think that that's something that we've seen over and over again, that the Democrats, despite having a supermajority in the legislature, they kind of continue to make these rookie mistakes in a way that just make it easy for their opponents to call them out. And I don't think that it's surprising that that continues to happen, because I think they've just really struggled to find a coherent message on criminal justice.
So that's some of what might be at stake politically. Emily, you wrote in your column that there's been, you know, plenty of time for the different sides to hammer out solutions to these problems, but instead, we've just seen a lot of finger pointing. So I'm wondering, what's at stake for the general public, for retail stores, and just for the function of our state if lawmakers cannot reach an agreement on this issue?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. And I think it really points to the fact that so often, you know, politics gets in the way of policy. And we're seeing this issue that at the beginning of the year was a bipartisan issue. People were coming together and having difficult conversations that had not been had in California for many years. We're now sort of seeing this devolve into, you know, Democrat versus Republican and all this stuff. And it's not a productive conversation. And it, you know, it seems like both sides truly are playing hardball with each other. And these latest efforts have just made everyone dig their heels in more. And I think that that's really unfortunate because, you know, that's not how we arrive at meaningful policy. Meaningful policy is always going to involve compromise. And to get there, you have to actually listen to each other and have respect for each other and have everyone come to the table. And the reality is that, you know, we have such a diverse group of people in the state. We have, you know, big box retailers, we have small little businesses, you know, there's people on all sides of all of these issues. And it's important to make sure that everyone is being heard. And I think until we arrive at kind of that sweet spot, the real gaps in Prop 47 that I think everyone, even Democratic leadership, admits exist, will not really be plugged in a satisfactory way. And then we'll have spent all this money and we'll have spent all this political capital, and we might not have really gotten to a meaningful or effective solution. And so I think that it's just really important for folks to continue to talk about this, and because digging in heels and refusing to budge an inch on both sides has never really worked well for anyone, especially for the everyday Californian.
Yeah, they're feeling the pain, that's for sure. That is San Francisco Chronicle columnist Emily Hoven. Emily, thank you very much for joining us on Insight today.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Still ahead, as summer approaches, many of us might think about relaxing with a nice wine tasting. We'll get tips for how to enjoy your vino from Insight's resident wine expert. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.